Brett, tell everybody about what you do day to day right now as you prepare for the season coming up.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me. I produce a college football preview book covering all 65 Power 5 teams every year. It comes out in June. It's been graded the most accurate in the country since 2012. That's by Stassen.com, who grades this against all the publications you see on newsstands and online. So here we are in January. What I do now, this time of year, I go back and kind of relive the season. It sounds crazy, but what I'm doing now is going back, re-listening to podcasts, re-listening to game reviews, watching some game tape, some condensed tape, reading game recaps, kind of going through the season, because when you cover 65 teams week to week, it's just trying to drink out of a fire hose. It's so much information. So I really like to take my time with it, go back. And so right now I'm reviewing the Big 12 and about halfway through the season there, Big 12-wise. So I do that for each conference, get a pretty good feel for each team. And then once spring rolls around, I switch over to, spring games, looking at the new roster, looking at transfers, calling coaches, calling coordinators. So, yeah, a lot of work to be done. I'm excited to get going, though.
Anything in your film review or podcast review that jumps out at you that struck you that maybe you didn't think you saw when it was happening live?
Yeah, so I think with Oklahoma, I think when you're in the moment of it and you see that they had those two early losses, I saw a lot of national blame thrown on the Spencer Rattler, and I think that might have been unfairly placed. I think that, I think at times he had a couple freshman mistakes, but I think for the majority of it with Oklahoma, they kind of got stuck with some bad suspensions there by some star players over the first half of the season, Ronnie Perkins, in the back, Ramondre Stevenson. So those two stars being out the first half of the season really hurt them. They were already thin at running back with Trey Sermon transferring. They had another player opt out at running back. So it was a thin running back group early on. The offensive line, actually, that's been a staple of Oklahoma's program under Bill Biedenboe, one of the best O-line coaches in the country. And they took a slight step back as well this year, too. So I think, Rattler is going to be an incredible prospect here next year. He showed that at times already in 2020. But I think it was kind of unfair to place a lot of that blame on them. So I'm looking at Oklahoma. They look really, really good, Bill.
Not only that, and they're having another good recruiting class, but they just got former five-star left tackle Wanye Morris from the transfer portal, and he announced he's going to Oklahoma. That's a big pickup, and they lose a pretty good chunk on that offensive line, including their star center.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Morris was a guy, I think he was preseason All-SEC down there from Tennessee. I mean, certainly he's going to come in and start and bolster which normally one of the best units in the country. So, yeah, they're looking really strong. Looking at my numbers with them, my game grader formula that looks at opponent-adjusted and pace-adjusted, all those different metrics, really high grade for Oklahoma this year too. So when you look back on them, both their losses were by one score. I don't want to try and give them excuses, but a lot of them were late turnovers and such. Iowa State, I'll give them credit. Iowa State really pounded them down the stretch in the fourth quarter, but Oklahoma should have beaten Kansas State. Respect for what Chris Klieman did there, but that was a collapse. Looking at Oklahoma down the stretch, though, those were both early season losses. They really flexed down the stretch here, and they look strong. Another team I'm really interested in is TCU. I think they're better than the record showed. Gary Patterson, again, doesn't get enough credit. I remember, back in October, Tom Herman was running his mouth about Gary Patterson. Hey, TCU is 7-2 against Texas the last 9 years, so I don't know if Texas should be talking to TCU like that. But I like what they have coming back on defense. Max Duggan's also another guy who gets a lot of flack nationally, but I really like him. He's a tough competitor, leader. He's a great runner. If he could just tweak the passing a tiny bit and maybe get a better offensive coordinator and a system there, they're an offensive coordinator away.
Well, since I mentioned transfer portal, two players from here that played at Memphis, Obina Eze, who's a 6'8 offensive tackle, and TJ Carter, a corner, both announced recently that they're transferring to TCU too. So a lot of new – I guess the future is going to be not only recruiting, as it has always been, but now we're all going to be thinking about transfers and quick fixes more so than ever before, and I don't see that going away unless they change the rules.
Yeah, I mean, look at the two teams we just mentioned. There's transfers galore, and I think that it's going to be a record-setting transfer portal year. That's just a whole other sector of my book I'm going to have to put in, and I'm excited about it, but it's going to be a ton of research and seeing how all these pieces fit together. I think from 247 Sports, Josh Pate said it perfectly, how these scouting departments, they kind of need a whole new department, like, you know, not just scouting high school recruits or scouting JUCO guys, but scouting other FBS and FBS or FCS rosters, just seeing who these guys are, who would fit, and it's crazy. It's like free agency, but going to be a ton of moving parts. Especially another angle here is with 2020, the extra eligibility year, where normally you just have those seniors going pro or graduating and leaving the program, but now with the option to come back, it's going to be, you know, these developmental programs like in Iowa or Wisconsin or Utah, I think benefits more getting all those fifth and sixth year guys coming back.
Your thoughts on the mess on Rocky Top at Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, right when I was starting to think about the coaching carousel being quiet this year, good old Rocky Top throws us a curveball late. I can't believe it. I guess also there was some off-the-field stuff, and we'll get into that over the next weeks and months. I'm sure more will come out. But, speaking strictly football-wise, coming into 2020, I was pretty high on Tennessee. I think a lot of the preseason publications were not high enough to win the East. I had them third there behind Florida and Georgia. But I really thought this defense was turning a corner under Jeremy Pruitt. You saw it on the field late 2019. From the halfway point on, they were playing great defense. Your eyes saw it watching tape, but also my numbers really showed it. And I thought that, with a lot of those guys, I think it was 9 starters back or 8 starters back on defense, plus this offensive line was supposed to be incredible. I really thought they'd take a jump. And saw a little bit the first two games, but then really the wheels fell off. So, it's just, I don't know. Offense really couldn't get out of its own way. The turnovers were still a terrible issue. So I guess it was time for a move there too, football-wise.
Yeah, and it's a little awkward. They brought in Kevin Steele about a week ago, named him an defensive assistant, and right now he's gone from that to the acting head coach. So we don't know if maybe he keeps it a year. They also have some areas on the staff where they need to make hires, like the offensive line, like the defensive line coach. And what a time, because Steele – needs to hire there, but if they go and then after they get their new AD, go get the next head coach, is that going to be the people he wants on the staff? This is real messy right now.
Yeah, when you were listing off those position openings, I was going to say the AD spot's open too, so it's going to
sure.
be a mess. You look at some of these candidates, it's so late in the ballgame too, but Tom Herman being available, Bill O'Brien from the NFL, former Penn State guy who helped get them out of sanctions. He was huge for Penn State back in 2012 through 14. I don't know the level of sanctions or if any are coming to Tennessee, but he's kind of a proven rebuilder in that sense, and a good NFL offense mind. You got Jamie Chadwell and Hugh Freeze down there in that region who had great non-AQ seasons or group of five seasons, whatever you call it. It's funny too, another name that's popped up that's now looking for a job is Gus Malzahn, but kind of blocked there with Steele after that whole fallout at Auburn. You can't really bring him in again.
No.
So, what a mess. And my only prediction, and it's a pretty safe one, is I think it'll go less than those 27 days it took last time around back in 2017. That search was just incredible.
Good point. Yeah, they said that they would get their new AD first because they want the new AD to be happy with whoever the new coach is. And that makes sense. That makes sense. You want everybody to be synced up. Not that they're very synced up at all right now, but that does make some sense. When you look back at the 20 season we just finished up, who was the team that you feel like was most disappointing? Let everybody down. Did not accomplish what was predicted.
Well, I mean, there's a few. You know, speaking of top 10 teams that came in preseason top 10 and really fell, there was two with Penn State and LSU. I remember Penn State was somewhere considering to be a potential threat to Ohio State in the Big Ten East and the Big Ten overall. They opened up with five straight losses, so Penn State's down there. LSU, talking about defending champions, I think they were statistically the worst defending champ since at least the 90s and maybe – even beyond that, I stopped looking after the Georgia Tech team in 91. So just a terrible transition year at LSU, and we kind of saw some of that. We saw the cracks forming just because of how perfect 2019 was. All these 14 NFL starters drafted, and Heisman winner, and all the defensive coordinator, pass game coordinator, all these guys left, and of course LSU recruits at a top five clip. So you thought maybe they'd plug some spots there, but it was a perfect storm in 2019, and to see it kind of collapse was crazy. And then some other blue bloods we talk about that are still down and trying to get out of a rut. I mean, Florida State, Tennessee, Nebraska, Michigan. Michigan had a terrible year there, and I'm not sure how Harbaugh kept his job. I know that Don Brown had to be the sacrifice there, the defensive coordinator. But, so those are some programs that you thought you'd see better from or at least have a higher expectation of where they ended up.
Tell everybody how they can get your info. I know your book doesn't come out for a while, but how they can get all your info.
Yeah, thanks. Book comes out in June, but over these next 6 months, I'll be tweeting stuff out as I'm researching on Twitter at Pick Six Previews and online at picksixpreviews.com. So, I have stuff coming out every day. I mean, as I'm going through, I'm kind of letting everyone know what I'm working on and as we move towards June. So thanks again, Bill, and talk to you guys next week.
Appreciate it. See you next time. Thank you. Yeah.